Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of SNP Schneider-Neureither & Partner SE regarding the presentation of the Q1 results 2019. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty seeing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Marcel Wiskow, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our conference call. 2 days ago, SNP published its financial statement for the first quarter of 2019. We want to take this opportunity giving you a deeper presentation for this call on our website in the section Investor Relations. With me in the call are Dr. Andreas Schneider-Neureither, CEO, and Dr. Uwe Schwelbach, CFO of SNP. In the first part, Andreas will give you some explanations about the strategy, about our technology and the market. In the second part, Uwe will give you a deeper insight into the Q1 numbers and the guidance in detail. I would introduce with the chart number 3, with the key figures of the Q1. As you know, the group sales decreased slightly to 28.8 million euro, but we saw a strong growth in order entry, especially in the DACH region in the first quarter, and this gives us a huge momentum for the rest of 2019 and 2020. EBITDA is slightly improved and equity is still stable. But for a deeper insight, for a deeper look, Uwe will explain it after Andreas, who will give you now explanation about, as I mentioned, market strategy and our technology. Andreas, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Andreas Schneider-Neureither. I will talk about our strategy in the market. In the last years, S/4 came as a small plant, but now it's growing. The pipeline in the meantime for S/4, the new version of, or the successor of R/3, is getting bigger and bigger. Now, at Volkswagen, we made a really great pilot project, and Volkswagen, they have about 130 systems. We just bought over one system in 6 months. Before, a partner had this project and struggled after 12 months. So our strategy is here right, and we get more and more demand from especially big customers who can't go with this green or brownfield approach, what I will talk about later. With SAP, we are in a very strategic partnership now. They call it hybrid approach, and it's between this greenfield starting from scratch and brownfield. And SAP sees more and more, and what we assumed some years ago, that the customers, especially the big customers, couldn't start from scratch with a greenfield approach. This was always our assumption, and now it gets real. I think we made about 70, 80 S/4 projects and assessments, so we have also a good history. When you go to the next slide, you see what happens in the next years. There are about 50,000 customers who have to jump to S/4. About 250 SAP consultants are globally available. And also these numbers are pretty cross-checked also with other partners, big ones like an IBM and Accenture and so on. And you see project managers, the different colors, you see architects, application consultants, and migration consultants. This is the minority. And especially these kind of people you need to go to S4. And when it really will happen that 50,000 customers will go to S4 till 2025, so every year we have to double our consultants. So there will be a huge lack of consultants in the next years. The answer to mitigate this is automation, and this is exactly our path. And you see the projects will double, more or less you can't find the people, and also the people have to be not only trained, they have to be experienced. So this is not possible in this short moment what we have. In the next page, you see, just for the explanation, greenfield and brownfield. Greenfield means you start from scratch, like many customers did in R3 20 years ago. Means you customize a new system, and then on the 1st of January you bring over master data, starting balance, and open items. All your history will be in the old systems, which costs a lot of money and is a very ineffective system approach. First of all, it needs much longer than bluefield or brownfield, and then you have also the old systems. So you have a huge disruption of your business. In the brownfield approach, you just bring over one-to-one the systems. That means when you have 150 SAP systems, you have to bring 150 systems one-to-one over. Advantage is you're in the new world, but nothing changed. And the biggest part in these projects are always testing and the load to the organization, the business departments. So the only way which is really sensible in our sense is our bluefield approach, which gives you the full flexibility. You can merge systems, you can carve out a part of it, you can make master data conversions, and of course you bring the systems to S4 in the cloud, and this in a one-step approach. We call it bluefield. This is a trademark since 2012 from S&P, and this will be the approach which is most likely used to bring over especially big companies. So when you compare, this is a typical project. When you see the on the top, the traditional way, which needs maybe 2.5 years, when we do the same project like this, with our approach, we need some months. And it's not only the time, it's also, when this go to the next slide, which is very convincing, our success rate. We never lost on project. So it's, we have a success rate 100%. The traditional has a success rate when you take in account, was it in budget, was it in time, did it really finish the project? There are a huge number also which never finish with the greenfield approach. So I think our numbers are very convincing. And when you talk to our customers, they love us. They love our approach. So here we are on the right way. And this is why we are also very bullish for our business in the next years. And this is just S4. It's not an M&A, and it's not this project like carve-out and like in HP one time or restructuring programs. This is just S4. So this will be give us a lot of work. So we will change. Or we propose to change something in the board of directors. Maybe you was reading it. Klaus Kleinfeld was investing in S&P. He's very convinced about our approach. He was, when he was CEO at Siemens, we changed a lot of in his company with our approach, but he never knew about it. And also when we did the HP split, He didn't know that it's S&P. So we have a marketing issue, which we will solve in the next years. So, and the next one, what we put on the agenda of the general meeting is Carl Biesinger. He is a very experienced lawyer. He's a company power the S&P the last years. So and then we can make faster decisions in the board of directors. So in the managing directors, since last year, August, we have Uwe Schwelbach on board. Soon we have also Michael Eberhardt on board, about July. He was at DXC, and he was responsible for 3 billion, so he knows how to scale our business, has also a lot of contacts. And also one time we will have a new global HR director. So then I think from the managing directors and also the board of directors, we are a great team to bring S&P to the next level. Okay, so far I would like to hand over to Uwe Schwelbach to give you insights in the financials. Thank you.
Hello to everybody also from my side. I do not want to focus on sheer numbers. I think it's the story behind that is of interest today. We had a rather heterogeneous Q1 in this year with modest two beginning months, January and February, and a very stellar month in March. And I want to underline our argumentation why we believe that our guidance is a valid one with top line 145 to 150 million and a lower to middle single digit EBIT rate. What we see at the moment is in the pipeline. We have it seen materializing in order entry in March, and we see it in our current pipeline for the second and for the third quarter. This makes us very positive that we can make up or balance out what we could not achieve in the first quarter, in the second and in the third quarter. And we are in that sense also positive that we will hit our targets in the fourth quarter. So given this, I can explain you as well how it breaks down to the single countries. And we are especially proud that we could achieve an increase in order entry in our DACH region, which means Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, of over 20%. And for us, this is a really, really strong signal, as this is the core market, one of the real two core markets of S&P, which are, yeah, this is the signals in the first quarter region and the sales level itself in the US. So we see that coming out of this very positive March, that our capacity utilization in the second and third quarter will be at much higher levels than in previous quarters, which then speak for a very strong profitability in the coming quarters. There is one region as well which is not doing so good. This is Latin America, where we encounter very weak economic environment, especially in Argentina, where S&P LATAM is situated. We saw a decrease in order entry, a tremendous decrease of order entry there in the first quarter, and we will watch that region further measures. What we're trying at the moment is to convert the local consultants into transformation consultants and make them work in international projects, especially in North America. Our approach, so it's based on the training. We have a standardized training program there, which takes about 1 month. So we have several people, several colleagues down there who are doing this training right now, and we will convert as many consultants as possible in this approach and stabilize this region. Furthermore, we're really positive about the sales mix. Yeah, the revenue with our own software products, which indeed have relatively high margins, went up by about 20% as well and amounted to 4.7 million. The cost structure, despite of the lower revenue, we achieved more or less the same results than last year. This is due to a significant decrease in personnel costs. We reduced our workforce by about 90 people on a global basis. This happened mainly in Germany, where we had overcapacities over the year, or especially in the first and second half of 2018. So we passively reduced our workforce in Germany, but also in other areas, so that we are now down 90 people, which has an effect of more than 1 million euros per quarter. The annual effect is about 5 million euros. Now, we jump a little bit in the figures. On page 12 of our presentation, you see the revenue by segments. Again, we see that software is up. The goal for 2019 is to be at 25%, and we are very positive to achieve this. Interesting is also the breakdown then into licenses and software support, where we could enlarge to the share of licenses to 69% or 4.3 million. Also trending in the right direction is a fact that you can find on page 14, where you see the revenue by region. As I mentioned, the DACH market is our home turf, is where we are coming from, and we want to globalize the organization, and we achieve this by realizing more and more revenue abroad. Currently, we are down to 45% on the DACH market. Now, some comments. Besides, we had a decrease that's mainly caused by current liabilities to employees and the repayment of purchase price liabilities. So that means that there was a payout of the bonus in the first quarter and further purchase price obligations that we served in this period. The non-current assets went up, especially due to the first-time application of IFRS 16 with an effect of over 10 million euros. I want to jump to the next slide and comment the equity and liability side. We increased the financial liabilities to about 10 million by 5 million, where we put we had to put non-current liabilities into the bucket of current liabilities. So that's alone an effect of about 5 million euros. On the non-current liabilities side, that went down logically by 5 million. The contrary effects on the other side is an increase of the non-current leasing liabilities, an effect that I mentioned before on the asset side as well, with 10 million euros. Equity is, stable. We reduced the retained earnings due to the net loss. That's the most significant change on the passive side of our balance sheet. I move to the guidance to 2019. I again confirm our top line guidance with 145 and to 150 million euros. Order entry.
Interrupting, your line is at the moment very bad. Maybe you dial in again and we try.
Okay, since when was the line really bad?
I can't hear you at the moment, so maybe you have to dial in again. Please move on with your slides.
Yeah, so apologies for that interruption due to technical difficulties. So I start again with page 17 in our guidance. So we stay with the overall top-line guidance of 145 to 150 million euros. The same holds true for order entry and order backlog. All these numbers are prior to any acquisitions that we might make in 2019, although such an acquisition at the moment is not visible or foreseen. We also do not foresee any major acquisition moves in a smaller scale, and rather on the software end of our business portfolio than on the services end. Guidance 2019, second slide on page 18, also on the profitability slide, no moves here. EBITDA will be on the lower to mid, EBIT will be on the lower to mid single digit percentage range, and EBITDA mid to upper single digit percentage range. Now I want to, on the last slide, page 19, I want to hint to one point which is on our agenda for the annual general meeting. We are heading towards a resolution on the creation of newly authorized capital of a total of about 3.3 million, which is an this is that after the recent capital increase, we are down to zero with authorized capital. We again want to have the full flexibility for any moves into every kind of direction, be it in the future, then 2020 onwards, bigger acquisitions, be it in onboarding in new investors. We have been showing a good track record in the last years when it comes to capital increases, and especially the last one has shown that the capital increase paid out positively to our investors. With this remark, I want to close and hand over again
To the operator.
To the operator, okay.
To open the Q&A session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it is your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Thomas Kaiser, private investor. Your line is now open.
Sorry, I didn't press the button.
But you're free to ask a question now.
Maybe you can talk about the last deal with IBM. If there's, what is the way up in with corporation? Because in the numbers, there's nothing to see from it.
Mm. Okay, I will answer this. With IBM, we are negotiating at the moment how we can go together to the market, and still everything is open, but we have already a good pipeline with them. But also we are thinking about how to make it more strategic and not this opportunistic approach. But we are still in negotiations, yeah? But it's moving forward.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Gerhard Gurnus, Berenberg. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon. Also a question related to IBM. Is this from your side, is this kind of a software deal, do you think? So where they will take Crystal Bridge, T-Bone, etc., and use it with their advisors? Or is that the right way to think about it from your side?
Yes, this was our overall strategy in the last years, but the partners were mostly very opportunistic. I think when you see now the future and the huge lack of consultants, they have to train their people on our software. So from our side, it wouldn't be just that we are a fulfillment partner on the consulting side. They have to train people, so it will be also more software related to us. And by the way, IBM is just one example. There are a bunch of partners who want to go that way because they see that demand of the customers is not blue, is not greenfield, is not brownfield, it's really bluefield.
And maybe a question on the utilization rate. You had 71% utilization rate in last year. Do you have any equivalent figures for Q1 and what you want to achieve this year? And also, what is generally, what's a good utilization rate for you? Is that 85% or is this comparing to 100% or what is good utilization for you guys?
So utilization was lower in the first quarter, in the first quarter overall, especially in February. So our orders convert into services only a couple weeks after the order comes in. So there's always a delay in the relationship between an order entry and in our capacity utilization. Now, when looking at our pipeline and the order entry, we see a relatively high capacity utilization in the second quarter and in the third quarter in the core market DACH. It's much lower, for example, in Latin America, as I described to you, yeah, where we are at the moment implementing measures to get it up again. So the target, yeah, is to have an overall capacity utilization, which is north of 75%. And I talk about a net capacity utilization.
Yeah, okay, perfect. And in terms of cost cutting, you've saved 4-5 million last year with the personnel reduction. Is that more or less done now? So now you're geared for growth, or is there more you think you can cut more costs?
I think that we have to, we already changed our mode from being very careful with costs into an investment mode. So we went down by 90 FTE in a year, but already in March that we have seen that we run into constraints when it comes to capacity in our core market DACH, where we are beginning to again heavily, not heavily, but I would say to in a smart way to invest in people. Since about half a year, we realized a global delivery approach. That means that we staff our projects internationally. So when we talk about a strong order entry increase in the DACH market, this will directly affect our Polish, Latin American, and Asian colleagues, because that's where we will deliver part or, depending on the project, most part of the project.
And the last question, maybe on IFRS 16, you capitalized 15 million in rental contracts. How does what's the effect of the shift from costs above EBITDA to below EBITDA? Is around 1 million or so that I have to take out from operating costs?
A little bit more than 1 million, yeah.
Into depreciation, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
The next question is from Richard Jean Edison. Your line is now open.
Good afternoon. You speak a lot about S/4HANA. I just wondered how much does M&A related business feature in the mix going forward?
If I can answer this question, at the moment, I see for the whole group a mix, maybe two-thirds organizational changes. And about one-third S/4HANA. So when it comes to order entry in euros, when it comes to it's the value of the project. When it comes to the project itself, the amount, the number of the projects, I see an increasingly number of S/4HANA projects. We see a lot of pilot projects at the moment at our bigger and middle-sized customers. And that's where we talk about a very, very positive signal. And again, it's rather heterogeneous. Yeah, so the situation looks different in Latin America or Asia than it looks on our core market. So everything I commented so far is true for our core markets.
And also, how much of these the business going forward is coming from your relationships, your IBM, from your partners, and how many from direct sales?
So again, I don't know, Andreas, if you want to maybe about 20% of our business and 80%.
No, it's about less than 15% is coming from partners still, and the rest is direct sales. So then you see it vice versa. There's a huge room for improvement to make more business with the partners. For example, not only IBM, so we have also smaller partners who are hosting partners. They have maybe 500 customers or 5,000, and they have to bring them over also. And what we are also working on a highly automated road that is maybe pressing some buttons to bring also smaller customers very, very fast over to S4. This could be also a very interesting revenue stream for us. And the idea is that we are mostly maybe in a project sell 4 or 5 days coaching, and that's it. And the rest is software.
Okay. Can you say what drove the strong growth in North America and also the order entry in DACH region? What is growing that? What is pushing that in the first quarter?
So in the end, it's bigger projects. So we continue to work on the Dow DuPont deal. It's a merge, and this is what majorly has driven our sales number in the first quarter.
Okay, the bigger deals. I read about in my notes earlier about nearshoring. Are you still trialing a nearshoring approach?
With our people in Poland, but also in Malaysia, and also in China. Of course, the idea is that we deliver from these locations also in the market.
Okay, so in the Q1, there was a decline in third-party product sales. Does that reflect management de-emphasis, or is it some other reason?
Which one?
Can you please repeat your question?
Software products. You had a big increase in and you took nice big interest increase in proprietary software, but the third-party software declined. I just wondered, are you de-emphasizing the sales of SAP and third-party software? Is that what it is?
Yeah, but it's not so strategic. It's not so. Andreas?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, it's not so strategic. It's mainly reflecting the decrease in Latin America, where traditionally a lot of those deals were going on.
Okay, and there was also a decline in the DPM from to 0.6 from 0.14. Is there a reason for that?
You're asking about a decline of our DPM product?
Yeah.
So in the end, it's just it's a mixed effect. So it's not a defocusing of it. When we look forward for the entire year, we see a balanced situation with a growth in all of our own products.
Okay, I think that's great. Okay, thanks. That's my questions.
Thanks.
The next question is from Volker Schmidt, Metzler Capital Markets. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my question. You cited March as a stellar month in terms of both demand and performance. Has this continued also up to now, or has it even accelerated? That's the first question. And the second question is, several times you mentioned that your pipeline is very well filled. How would you quantify your pipeline as compared to 1 year ago? And then on your VW pilot project, I mean, it has been completed. Have you already been assigned with follow-up project from VW?
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe I comment on your first question. So I see this trend of March continuing into April, and thus again also in May. The second question goes to the pipeline. We see a much higher pipeline than we have seen in the last year. Although, again, very heterogeneous, is not in all regions where we're present, but it's in our main markets, and that's what is important for us.
Oh, but in terms of percentage, as compared to 1 year ago, I mean, very well filled is one statement, but can you quantify it?
The increased percentage is one. The quality is much higher, and we are much more predictable now what's in. Maybe it's just 10%, but because of the higher quality, so we can't tell an exact number now, because we put a lot of hot air out, and we are now going through the pipeline of every salesman in the whole world, and this is why we are very convinced. And also, we know from some customers and partners that there is really reliable business which we can expect this year and the next year.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and then your third question was towards Volkswagen, and you're right. At the moment, we are negotiating the potential follow-up deals.
Mm-hmm. And maybe a follow-up question here. In your presentation, you cited that that you are in close cooperation with SAP in all three strategic areas. Is this a change to recent years? And if so, what has really changed in your relationship with SAP?
So SAP see that this is the small group, it's called SLO, which we were fighting some years ago. But in the last years, it's getting better and better. Also our software, the transformation backbone, and also the interface scanner is SAP certified. So the relation was in the last years good. But now they have a so-called strategic initiative, it's called MOVE campaign, that they are finding some partners, and we are, I think, the strongest from all, who can help customers not to go greenfield, not to go brownfield, to go really, they call it hybrid, we call it bluefield, to go the bluefield approach. And we are talking frequently also to board members, so and also the relationship to SAP US with our new director here, it's also great. So it's in many cases, not only on a board level, also on a working level, really good.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
If they hand over projects, I'm not sure with SAP, but when they are endorsing you and recommend you, this is also, it's a great value for us.
At the moment, there are no further questions. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now.
Well, yes, so thanks for your questions. If there are no... So I guess no questions anymore.
Nobody
so.
Hears you.
No?
There are no further questions.
Okay, then we say goodbye. Thanks for participation. And
thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may disconnect.